We're back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and we're talking today with John Ford, Riley County Commissioner here, as they will prepare for their next meeting here on Thursday. They meet twice a week, and those meetings are open to the public. I know people don't regularly attend the county commission meetings. Sometimes your crowds are pretty small.
Yeah, probably because they're at 8:30 in the morning, so it's right at the start of the business day for most people. And unless it's usually an issue that really stirs up the dust or controversy or emotion, it's kind of business as usual. I do have a commissioner's Facebook page, and I do post each one of our agendas for each meeting there. So if you can't come to a meeting and need a spot, you can always go to the website. You can go there. There are ways of at least keeping track of what we're doing. So and I encourage that always. So.
Absolutely. You've got to know what's going on with your tax dollars here. It's very important. And one of the things that I know has been kind of talked about a lot in the last couple of years is the firing range. You do have something secured here for, I guess it would be in June, the end of June of next year.
We're hopeful.
Hopeful, okay.
We did purchase the property and are working on trying to get closed on that and get it secured. This should be coming up here in the next probably week or so for sure. So we'll officially take possession of that property. We are working with TRS Range Services, who did the initial surveying, of course, with county and then RCPD on needs on developing the actual physical firing range. It'll be probably a 25-yard and a 50-yard range to start. We'll kind of develop off of that. It should be about a quarter of a mile to three quarters of a mile, basically due north of where its current location is. So it's not much of a change. So as far as environmental and sound impacts and stuff, will all be roughly the same. We're just basically moving properties, and we purchased that. I think it's about 172 acres, and there's 20 or so more that we can pick up along the way, or at least have the first right of refusal on, and gives us some space to develop some other things down the road in basically the same area that we were at. So I thought it was good.
All right.
I thought it will be.
I might talk to you more about here. Okay. We got a phone call first, though. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, good morning. I would like to speak with Mr. Ford. I'm wondering, this is to do with the airport, okay? Does all of Riley Countyans know about the property tax increase to pay for expansion of runways that is not needed? The big airplanes lift off in less than half the length of our runway as it is now. And I've lived here for 49 years. I have a bird's eye view of the airport, and I have watched it for a long time, and I have even I have been in a cockpit of one of the big airplanes. Maybe it's called C-17, but they're the transport airplanes that haul helicopters and jeeps and so forth. And I was in the cockpit with a co-pilot just a few years ago. And so he was telling me that, and I did not ask him this question, but he said, we take off in half the length of this runway. And they do, because I see it all the time. And I don't think an expansion is necessary at all. But I just wonder how many Riley Countyans know about this.
I know that that's part of the sales tax increase that's on the ballot for the city. That's one of the projects they wanted to do. We're probably reaching the point where at least redoing the current runway is probably going to be necessary, just because of use. And as far as expansion is concerned, I struggle with that one. It's not obviously a county issue, so it's nothing that we're going to have to develop a plan or anything for. But I believe we need to get diversity in flights there before that's ever needed, in my opinion, and maybe including the parking lot, whether it's free or whether it's for pay or whatnot. But just being able to fly to Dallas and Chicago is beneficial, but maybe getting some other points towards the east and towards the west to expand some of those flights so that we use them, so that there's a larger base of people using them, not just from the city or the county, but just regionally, may offset some of that in the future. I'm not totally supportive of expansion at this point in time, but we probably do need to do some heavy maintenance on those runways to make sure that they work properly moving forward.
Commissioner, yesterday Airport Director Jesse Romo was in on the show, and we talked to, you know, the work largely is not necessarily just expansion, but reconstruction of the runways,
because
some of those some of those pads are 50 years old, which that's old by any standards, and a large portion of the work that they're doing out there is in association with that.
I think maybe the lady's concern here is with expansion comes the probably land, and what direction are you going to be able to expand? So now there's people over there in the Wildcat Creek area and over in the Ogden area that would obviously directly impact, because you can't really go east, can't really go south, can't really go north, at least at the moment with the industrial park, although maybe there's some shift or changes in there. So from an expansion point, probably the major concern would be which direction they were going and whose property is going to probably be affected by that. So I can totally understand that point.
We've got another caller here. Okay. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hello, I can't hear you.
How about now? Can you hear us now?
No, but I'll go ahead. The deal on the runway is that letter you got from the FAA, the city got from the FAA, that they need thicker runway, bigger runway for the bigger planes, and going out there in the field and putting in a bigger runway is a solution to that. But anyway, they're telling me the county is in charge of the towers for the new radio system. We want to make sure the contracts for those people down line who are going to provide the construction for those towers will have enough coverage for the workers, because we're losing one tower construction fella a week. They call him Tower Dog. We lose one a week, and we don't want to have our police investigating and our emergency people out there rescuing folks off of that tower. We want to have the contracts designed so that the providers that bring in those service people are going to be responsible for their workman's comp and everything else. Usually, you know, the car dogs don't get a dime when they fall off that tower. Thank you.
Yeah, we are working on three tower sites for that right now. We're coordinating, obviously, with FCC, Fort Riley, all the major players on that, and making sure that they're set up and accurate.
He talks about the accidents with those that climb towers, and that is a risky risky business. You know, as radio people, we have towers. The number of towers has increased dramatically in the last 15 years, 20 years, because of cellular technology and a lot of other new radio systems and new radio station broadcast locations as well. So there's a lot of things that go into that. HDTV, there's so many more towers.
Broadband.
So you're going to see those numbers increase. That's a large portion of the increase. But the safety measures that they're using have improved dramatically over the last several years as well.
That's not an area of expertise for me necessarily. I just know kind of where we're at with the county. So if, you know, if the private entity that's putting up a tower or federal government or Fort Riley or TSA or whatever, you know, I'm not for sure what those standards are. I know for ours, we do have three sites located for our radio tower and new communications. Of course, we got to get the radio, the technology, the software, all that stuff at a later date to connect to it. It's, I guess, not implausible to think that we won't work with some other entities, including the ones just mentioned, as well as that. But, you know, we've had to kind of work to get elevations right, to get the, you know, circumference and the area around it right. And, you know, we're just now kind of getting into that process. And it's been a kind of a difficult process. In fact, Pat Collins came in yesterday's meeting and basically informed us that there's going to be a series of some change orders in regards to that. So it's an ever ongoing developing and undeveloping and redeveloping type of system moving forward. And we were hoping to have most of that in place by spring. And it may be a little closer to the summer or late summer next year before we can maybe get it completely finished and then start working on the back end of that with the actual radios and technology. So,
well, it's an important upgrade here, though, for
absolutely
emergency services.
Yeah.
And kind of getting back to the firing range here, I know that the sale of that went pretty quickly here over the summertime. Is that something that I'm just curious, this is me thinking out loud here, but did you guys jump into that maybe too quickly here, do you think? Or
no. You know, we had the property that we're on right now is just to the south of where we're at. It came up for sale early in the spring. It was offered as a suggestion maybe for this particular issue. In order to get that in the time frame that the sellers wanted to get that into, we had to make a decision really quick, and then we actually had to move to, number one, get it surveyed to make sure that it was going to work for this particular purpose, all the potential environmental noise impacts, everything else. Infrastructurally, we're going to have, you know, right-of-ways, accesses, that sort of thing. Everything was going in place to make this a workable entity, and we had to move really, really quick on that, and we did. And when we figured out that everything was going to fall into place, it was either yes, we do, or no, we still continue to work on another route, and we decided that this was probably going to be, particularly within the time frame, as you mentioned, in June, going to need to work and get it done quickly. So we decided to go that route. You know, it was probably going to be a little bit of a larger expense, but we do have some extra land to do some things down the road if needed, so we don't have to purchase another piece of property and take something else off the tax roll. It's all basically, you know, conveniently located in that spot. So we did move pretty quickly, I admit, but that was basically the reason why. So.
I see.
Yep. Okay. Well, John, appreciate the time here this morning.
Thanks,
we'll talk
to
you again down the road.
All right. Sounds good.
That'll do it here for In Focus. John Ford and Julie Govert-Walter are our guests here today, and we'll have this uploaded here later on at newsradiokman.com. Coming up tomorrow on In Focus, we'll have Pottawatomie County Schools Superintendents Tim Winter and Kevin Logan. We'll also be speaking with K-State Professor of Dance Julie Pence, previewing the Tap to Togetherness event for Meadowlark Hills Parkinson's and Memory Programs.
All right, good show this morning. Good job, Brandon. It's almost 10 a.m. A look at our forecast will be coming up after CBS News. Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick at the game this afternoon. Of course, more talk about football and not just K-State, but the Chiefs. Maybe some soccer stuff, too, as Mitch is going to be involved in that. Royals on the radio at Chicago. Our coverage begins at 6:30. I'm Dave Lewis. Have a great day. See you back here tomorrow.